Six tuned to yesterday, delivering programs from radio's past. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark LeVonier. In this hour, comedy. Later on, we hear the Bob Hope Show from 1952 with special guest Claudette Colbert. But right now, it's the Gulf Screen Guild Theater, bringing us the comedy story Mr. Jinx Goes to See, featuring Bing Crosby, Andy Devine, and Gene Parker. This was first heard on December 10th, 1939.
The Gulf Screen Guild Theater. The director of the Gulf Theater and your host, Roger Pryor.
Good evening, everyone. Your neighborhood good Gulf dealer and the Gulf Oil Companies again welcome you to the Gulf Theater. Got another terrific cast for you tonight, and a most unusual little epic called Mr. Jinx Goes to Sea, in which Bing Crosby plays the kind of a part he's wanted to play for a long time.
All a sailor's life is the life for me.
Playing Bing's pal is the man with a fallen larynx, that old salt, Andy Devine.
Oh, a sailor's life!
And the girl?
The girl is Jean Parker.
Oh, sailor's life is the life for me.
Now, wait a minute, fellas. Hold it. Not now. There are two more of your screen favorites here, folks, raring to go. Chick Chandler and Raymond Walburn. You know, when Val Burton, the author of tonight's play, showed his story to Bing, Bing immediately wanted to do it. But he particularly wanted to do it here in the Gulf Theater. Because the Gulf Theater is the stars' own theater. It's the one place where you can meet all your favorite stars, doing the things they like to do. For you see, every cent of the money that would otherwise be paid to the stars who appear in the Gulf Theater is used instead to help meet the needs of the Motion Picture Relief Fund and to build a home for the less fortunate members of the industry.
Well spoken, Roger. Well spoken.
Thank you, Bingo. And here, folks, is a bit of inside dope on the play. In this play, nobody wants to hear Bing sing. Oh, I know that sounds pretty wacky, but so is the play.
Now, not too loud, Roger. Not too loud. You're giving people ideas. Nobody wants to hear me. I got a couple of horses to support, you know.
Well, Bing, we're not talking about Bing the man. Tonight it's Bing Hamlet Crosby, the actor.
Oh, yes, yes. To be or not to be, or does anybody care?
That's right, Bing, and I'm sure somebody does care. And now, if you and your chums are ready...
We are ready and willing, sir.
Well, then we'll call for lights. Music! The scene opens, we find Perry Entwistle and his boyhood chum, Andy Kirby, on their way to join the Navy. They're hitchhiking from Kansas to San Diego, and we pick them up somewhere on the highway.
We're on our way to San Diego to join the Navy, me and you.
To join the Navy, me and you.
We're on our way to join the Navy. Hooray for the red, white, and blue.
Oh, this is the life, Andy. You can't beat this. A wide open highway, healthy, invigorating, carefree, just the two of us. Trotting along nature's bed of concrete.
Oh, let's rest a while, Perry, will you? I feel like I'm walking on my ankle. Oh, why did I ever let you talk me into hitchhiking to San Diego to join the Navy? Hey, look, here comes another car over the hill.
Get ready, then. Thumbs, attention.
Yeah!
Hey, how about a lift?
Hey, who was that guy? Sir Malcolm Campbell?
What was that?
Sounds like that car got a problem.
Well, come on, then. This guy's got to listen to us. He can't move the left tire, Stick.
Oh, well, couldn't we wait till he's almost through fixing it?
Now, don't be like that. If we help him, he can't refuse us a lift. Well, here's the car. But we seem to be alone.
That's funny. Somebody must have been driving it.
Well, you look around that side, and I'll look around here, and we'll find... Uh-oh.
Oh, don't you dare touch me.
Hey, it's a girl.
Now, go away, please.
Now, look here, miss.
Well, if you want my money, it's in my bag in the front seat.
My dear girl, we don't want your money.
Yeah, how much have you got?
Quiet, Andy. He's only kidding, miss. We'll fix your tire, and then you give us a lift.
I'm not going your way.
You're not? Well, how do you know?
Well, just mention where you're going, and I'll prove it.
All right. We're going to San Francisco.
There. You see? I'm going to San Diego. Goodbye.
Oh, we couldn't think of letting you go all that way alone. You might get another flat tire.
Now, we'll go to San Diego with you. Andy, take off your coat and hat.
Oh, I thought I only had to take off my hat to a lady.
That's etiquettically correct, but your hat comes off for the lady, your coat for the flat tire.
Oh, gee, Perry, I always gotta do the work. Hey, we're almost there.
Where?
Well, here, look at that sign. It says San Diego Business District this way.
Which way? Well, what did the sign say?
Well, it didn't say anything. It just pointed.
Oh. Say, I wonder which way is that recruiting station?
You live in San Diego, don't you, Catherine? Catherine?
Certainly not. Never been here before.
You don't live in San Diego?
Well, then what are you doing here now? Aren't you going to join the Navy, too?
Andy. Tell him again, Catherine.
Well, I'm going to be a teacher in the Thatcher School afloat. You know,
afloat?
Yes, Miss Parkinson's floating seminary.
Oh, sort of an aquatic boudoir, isn't it?
It sounds like a good idea.
Yes, the girls learn their lessons while seeing the world.
I'll bet they had a tough time getting a crew for that ship.
Very funny.
Hey, look, we're really downtown now, Perry. Turn on the radio and see if they're going to give us a civic welcome.
Okay.
Oh, I love that song. Do you know the words, Perry?
Oh, I think so. Are you having any laughs? Are you getting any lovin'? What good is what you've got if you're not having any fun? After the honey's in the comb, little bees go out and play. Even the old gray mare down home has got to have hay. Hey, you better have fun. You ain't gonna live forever before you're old and gray. Still okay. Have your little fun, son. Have your little fun.
Gee, that was swell, Perry.
Hey, look, there's a recruiting station.
Where?
Right here, can't you see? Stop the car. Come on, Perry.
Well, okay, I'll meet you in this corner at 6 o'clock, Catherine.
I'll be here at 6 o'clock sharp, Sailor.
Sailor? What do you mean, Sailor? By the time I come out of that door again, I ought to be at least a lieutenant. Gee, that's going to sound pretty nice. Admiral Perry Entwistle.
Entwistle, Kirby, here are your papers.
Well, we're in the Navy now.
Oh, good morning, sir.
Morning. Well, you don't have to salute me yet.
It's not for you, dope. Turn around and salute. There's a rear admiral coming in the door.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, son. Well, joining the Navy, eh?
That's right. I mean, yes.
Good. Oh, that's the spirit. You know, it's men like you that make the Navy what it is. What's your name, sailor?
Entwistle, sir.
Entwistle. Did you say Entwistle?
Yes, sir.
Not the son of Jonathan Entwistle?
The very same. Did you know him, sir?
Did I know him? Who didn't know Jonathan Entwistle? The jinx of the Navy.
The jinx?
Why, that jinx has followed your family for generations.
Wait a minute here. I mean, sir... let me get this straight. What's this jinx stuff?
Why, I shudder at the thought of it. Every time an Entwistle sings, a calamity occurs immediately.
Oh, you're nuts.
What?
You're nuts, sir. Why, I've been singing for years. Nothing ever happened.
Oh, that's just it. The jinx only works if you're in the Navy. Why, it can be traced back to Zechariah Entwistle.
My great-great-grandfather.
Yes, sir. It first happened in 1861 aboard the USS Defiance.
What happened?
Well, according to records, the ship was riding calm when suddenly a mainsail crumbled in a heap. 4 men were tossed overboard and their beams buckled up. They couldn't figure out how that could happen till they looked up on the poop deck.
And?
And there was your uncle, your grandfather, Zechariah, standing on the poop deck singing, "Drink to me only with thine eyes."
Well, I don't know about the ship, but if he had a voice like that, those 4 guys weren't thrown overboard. They'd jump.
That's a good one. I'm sorry you can't join the Navy, son, but it's all for the best.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir, but I've already got my papers.
What? Then I demand that you resign.
Perry, you better do as he says, Perry.
No, not a chance. I don't believe in that jinx stuff.
Now, let's get at this another way, my boy. You're not very rich, are you? Well, how much will you take to be bought out?
Oh, sorry, sir. You can't buy me out.
Let him make me an offer.
Oh, be quiet, will you? Be quiet. Now, for the last time, Entwistle, I demand that you leave the Navy.
And I refuse.
Good gracious, gee whiz and gadzooks, Answiffer. I never did anything to you. Now, please get out of the Navy, won't you, Answiffer? Oh, please. Please get out.
So that's the story of the Jinx. At least that's the way I get it from the Admiral.
Well, it's a pretty corny story, Mr. Jinx.
Oh, I don't believe it either. So let's forget it, huh? Much more important that you're sailing tomorrow on Mrs. Grantha France, or whatever her name is, floating thing.
That's right.
Who turned the radio back on?
I did. I'm a pushover for music.
Oh, sing that, will you, Perry? It's sort of a goodbye.
South of the border, I rode back one day. There in a veil of white, by candlelight, she knelt to pray. The mission bells told me that I mustn't stay. South of the border, down Mexico way. Ay, 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 ay. Ay, ay, ay. Well, there, you see, that proves it.
Proves what?
That Jinx junk. I sang, didn't I? And I finished, didn't I? And nothing happened, did it? Here we are, driving along just as peaceful. I, I.
Million people in this country, and I had to pick up a hitchhiker with a Jinx.
As the scene opens, we find the sailors happily scrubbing the decks of the battleship.
We scrub the deck, scrub the deck, scrub the deck. Merrily we scrub the deck.
Quiet! Quiet! How many times will I tell you I don't want any singing on this ship from anyone? The war games are coming up soon, and we're stuck in here in the harbor repairing broken anchor chains, among other things. Entwistle!
Yes, sir?
I hold you responsible for everything that's happened. You sang yesterday and have snapped the anchor chains.
I apologize, sir.
Apology be hanged. I can forgive that. But I can't forgive your singing when I was conducting ship's inspection this morning.
Well, I beg your pardon, sir, but you see, there was a whole situation.
There can be no other reason for my suspenders letting go at that particular time.
I'm sorry, sir, but I don't like this Jinx any more than you do. But how am I going to break it?
Don't ask me. I'm an admiral, not a fortune teller.
Well, now you may have something there.
All right, my son. Zoe the Great shall solve your problems for you. Would you like a 50-cent reading or a Taliban?
I'll take the 50-cent special with choice of two questions.
Very good, my boy. I really don't like to talk money. It's immaterial and unimportant.
Yes.
Pay in advance, please.
Here you are.
Thank you, my boy. Now, let's see. What date were you born on?
January the 20th.
January 20th. Capricorn, Zodiac, cusp for the Ascending, Ligurodian the 7th. One, two, conjunction. My, you've got a terrible jinx. Must have been in your family for years, and there's only one way to break it.
There is a way? Well, what is it? Come on, man, let's have it.
Well, you were born when Capricorn was on the cusp of Aquarius, and the jinx will continue until someone of the opposite sex...
You mean a girl?
Yes, generally speaking. Until this person who was born with the sign of Figaro and Libra... September 22nd, to be exact, tells you that she loves you.
Oh, that's fine. That's a big help. I only know one girl, and she's in the middle of the ocean someplace, teaching school on a floating seminary.
Well, the swimming's very good at this time of the year.
Well, I wish you four guys had quit following me around.
Oh, we can't help it.
Tell me, boys. Come on, tell me. What's the attraction? Is it my oomph?
It's the Admiral's orders. We got to see that you don't sing until these war games are over. I got all my dough on those maneuvers, and if we lose on account of you, Perry, I'll personally punch you in the nose. And if we win, well, I think you're a heel on general principles.
Say that again and I'll sing at you.
You're asking for it, sailor.
Oh, am I? Come and punch me in the nose. I'm waiting to...
Get him! Cut him up quick before something happens.
What was that?
Sounds like something hit us.
Hey, there's the emergency siren.
Emergency crew, stand by.
All right, men. Everybody to your stations.
Hey, what happened? Didn't you feel it? We were rammed by some screwball boat. Madam something or other's floating seminary.
Yahoo!
Girls!
Did you get an answer to my radiogram yet?
What radiogram, sir?
What radiogram? That one, lying right in front of your nose. Ram ship. Rescued 50 young girls. Request permission to change course and drop them at Honolulu.
Well, I sent it, sir, but no answer yet.
They let me do what I know they will.
Oh, here comes your answer now, sir. Sorry, can't spare your ship from maneuvers. Keep girls on board until after war games. It's signed by the Admiral, sir.
Oh, dear. What was that?
Oh, well, that was just from the wireless operator, sir.
What did he say?
Well, it was personal, sir. Nothing at all, really.
What did he say?
He said, woo-woo, sir.
Oh, Catherine!
I don't want to talk about him, Andy.
Oh, but Perry feels awful about the way you're ignoring him.
I'm sorry.
Well, he's saving all his money to pay you back for your automobile.
Really?
Yeah, he's got $4.25 saved up already. And you know what's more, Catherine?
What?
Well, he made a bet with the other side. I mean the sailors who are playing our enemies in these war games.
A bet?
Yeah, and you know how much Perry wants to stay in the service. Well, he bet the other side $500 against his leaving the Navy that we'd win.
And he didn't. What is it?
And, right over there at his battle station in Gun Turret number one.
Gee, thanks. I'll see you later.
Shoot. Is there any way they can ventilate these gun turrets? It sure gets hot.
Oh, boy. I'm glad this is the last day of the maneuvers.
Yeah, I wonder when we'll sight that target they're going to shoot this thing at.
Oh, probably an hour or so. It's being towed by the SS Ticonderoga. Boy, I certainly got a lot of responsibility on my shoulders.
Get him, responsibility. Somebody else fire and you push a button.
Yeah, but what would happen if he said fire and I didn't push yon button?
Hello.
Gee, girl. Hey, what are you doing up here?
Oh, hello, Perry.
Hello, Catherine. I didn't expect to see...
I know. What'd they put you up here for?
Well, I'm just getting ready to wash up these war games. They'll probably give me a promotion for my work today. A medal, too.
Oh, a medal, too.
Yep. I'll send it to you for your birthday. Your birthday? Say, when's your birthday? What day were you born on?
September 22nd. Why?
Why? September 22nd? Yoo-hoo!
I don't quite follow. What's all this about?
What's it about? Don't you see? You were born on September the 22nd. The jinx is broken.
Broken?
Right. Now I can sing. I love life.
Hey, get that gun. Look out, we all miss. That shell's going to fall off the back.
Catherine, look out. Catherine, are you hurt?
Just a minute. No. Don't you get a little tired of singing and then asking me if I'm hurt?
Darling, it was all my fault.
How big of you to admit it.
Well, I forgot. You have to tell me, you see, that you love me.
Oh, I do, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, perhaps this will give you some slight indication of how I feel in the matter. I'm going to ring for the Admiral.
Don't touch that button, Catherine. It fires the gun.
How in tarnation did that gun go off by itself? Find out whose fault it is and put Edwistle in the brig.
That'll hold you until the court-martial.
He's not going to be court-martialed.
You said it, sister.
That's okay. Forget it.
No, Perry. It's all my fault. I acted like a little fool. You're in so much trouble. I love you so.
What?
I love you. I do, Perry. Really, I do.
Katie, that's the sweetest song cue I ever heard. I can sing again now.
You can?
Well, I'm sure as heck going to give it a quick whirl. What's your favorite song?
Make with the Kisses.
Well, man the listening tubes and stand by to blow up your water wings, honey. Because here goes. Make with the kisses. Make with the sighs. Make with the baby talk.
give with the eye. Here I am making with the eye, be true. And everyone's making love to someone. What goes with you? Make with the kisses. Why don't you make with the thrill? Make with the snuggle up that brings those chills. The sky is making with the moon above. It couldn't be brighter. Hold me tighter. Make with the love. Why don't you make with the thrill? Make with the snuggle up that brings those chills. The sky is making with the moon above, and it couldn't be brighter. Hold me tighter. Make with the love. Well?
I say, I still don't hear anything or feel anything.
Harry! Harry! Hey, guess what just happened?
Uh-oh. Trouble.
Hey, listen to this wire we got from the USS Ticonderoga. Your shell scored direct hit in our target. This wins the war games for you. Congratulations. But how in thunder did you know where we were?
Hooray! Now I know the jinx is broken. Let me out of this brig. Come on, let me out of here.
What's all this ringing about?
Oh, Admiral, it's Perry. He broke his jinx. You can let him out now.
Don't give me orders, young lady. Entwistle stays in the brig until I'm ready to let him out.
Oh, Admiral, you're a meanie. After I went to all the trouble of cleaning your room this morning, I even gathered your things and put them down the laundry chute.
Laundry chute? That was a porthole. I've had four sailors out in rowboats all morning gathering up my clothes. Kirby, Kirby, put this girl in the brig.
Well, you'll have to get in, Catherine. It's the Admiral's orders.
And make sure you lock the door.
Oh, Perry, darling.
Gee, now you're both in the brig. Is there anything I can do for you?
Yeah, you can throw away the key.
Well, throw away the key.
Bing, Gene, Andy, Ray, and Chick for a swell performance. And now, ladies and gentlemen, once again, our stars step before the curtain, ready to indulge in the give and take of the Gulf question box.
Pardon me a second, Roger, but may I say a word to Mr. Crosby?
Well, I don't see why not, John.
Well, I do. Let's cut up some touches, friend.
Well, thanks. Mr. Crosby, as one singer to another,
thank you, John.
Yeah. Thank you. I'd like to felicitate you on your colorful vocal maneuvering.
Well, 'tis indeed grateful I am, sir, for your warm-hearted speechifying, but I didn't know you all was a singer, sir.
Well, just around the edges, Mr. Cross.
Well, would you give us a quick whirl?
Would. Downbeat, Oscar, please.
Downbeat him.
When skies are cloudy and gray, they're only gray for a day. So wrap your troubles in dreams and laugh your troubles away.
Well, I didn't let you sing ahead of me.
Pardon
me for protruding there, friend. But
yes.
The last line is dream your troubles away.
Well, maybe so, Mr. Crosby, but I like the phrase laugh your troubles away. You see, just those words give you a carefree, happy feeling. The kind of feeling you'll have if you stop tomorrow at your good golf dealer.
Thank you, Johnny. And now the first question goes to Andy Devine, who just completed The Man from Montreal for Universal.
Well, shoot, Roger. I got my thinking cap on.
Oh, you have, Andy. Well, I think you're going to need it because your first question is this. Who was the first person to sign a movie contract?
Who was the first
person?
James J. Corbett, correct?
That sounds wrong, I know, Andy, but as a matter of fact, it's absolutely correct.
Well, I read my movie magazine.
Good for you, Andy. And the next question goes to Gene Parker. Ready, Gene?
I'm ready.
Frankly, you're ready. Huh? Welcome. You used to play piano in the theater during silent pictures.
Frankly, I don't know.
Well, the answer is frankly, Norma Shearer. Incidentally, Norma Shearer will be here in the Gulf Theater next week with Basil Rathbone, Lewis Hayworth, Halliwell Hobbs, and the play Smiling Through. Now, you come back here now. You can't go away because you got to pay a forfeit. Tell me, Gene,
Can you play a cornet?
A cornet?
Yeah. Do you ever try?
No.
Well, you're going to learn one now. Here's one right here, and you have to get something out of it. There it is. It's almost as big as you are. Well, that's apparently not the way. What's more? Oh, gee, pucker. Pucker.
Pucker. I could do better, but me chops is beat.
Thank you, Gene Parker. Now, the next question goes to Ray Walburn. Ray, come over here, young fellow. Tell me, what's the family name of the Lane sisters?
The Lane sisters? Uh-huh. Let me see. Oh, I thought you had been there, didn't you?
Well, up to now, I still think I've got you.
Let me see. Oh, Mulligan.
Mulligan is absolutely right, Ray. You're too smart.
Yes, it's a nice dish, too. Every one of them, yeah.
And the next question goes to Bing Crosby, who is now working in Paramount's Road to Singapore. Bing, come on over here, young fella. You ready?
What's my forfeit?
Well, what's your forfeit? Oh, now, wait a minute. You've got to answer a question first.
Oh, I got to do it the hard way with 2 sixes, huh?
Yeah, I guess so. Tell me, what do the following 4 pictures have in common, Bing? Ben-Hur, The Covered Wagon, Broadway Bill, and Kentucky. Now, if you like, I'll repeat that again.
Oh, never mind. I don't know.
Why, Bing, it's horses. You know all about horses.
Well, that's a matter of opinion.
Well, Bing, let's see. I've got a forfeit for you. Let
what
me
do I
see.
Have to do?
Well, I'll tell you what you have to do. You have to give an imitation of the great operatic star, Martinelli, giving an imitation of Bing Crosby.
All right. Well, give me a little chord here.
Chord, Oscar.
It's the Jim Jam Jump. With a jumpin' jive, you think you're 9 foot tall when you're 4 foot five.
Ah, 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 ah. Hep, hep.
Ladies and gentlemen, before we say goodnight, I'd like to invite you to tune in next week when we bring you Norma Shearer, Basil Rathbone, Lewis Hayward, Halliwell Hobbs, and, of course, the music of Oscar Bradley and his Gulf Orchestra. Until then, this is Roger Pryor saying goodnight, everybody.
The Gulf Screen Guild Theater on Tuned to Yesterday from December 10th, 1939 on CBS. Featuring Bing Crosby, Gene Parker, and Andy Devine, who would go on to be Jingles on the television and radio version of Wild Bill Hickok, but at that time he was a radio darling, as he was heard on one of the most listened to comedy programs of its day, The Jack Benny Show, where he appeared as himself as special guest nearly once a week. It's an hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now on to The Bob Hope Show, an NBC broadcast from April 1st, 1952, with special guest Claudette Colbert.
Show, direct from the United States Marine Supply Depot in Barstow, California. Transcribed with Les Brown and his band of renown. For Chesterfield, yours truly, Hi Averback. Joanne Greer and our special guest, Miss Claudette Colbert. And here he is, Bob Hope.
Ladies and gentlemen, here I am in Barstow from the men of the U.S. Marine Supply Depot. And I want you Marines to know this isn't the first time I've played a dump. Yes, sir, this Marine base is very important to the West Coast. Carries all the supplies that are vitally necessary to our fighting men. No kidding. Did you ever see a warehouse full of dice? It's easy to see where they keep them. It's 2 square buildings with dots on them. They told me the Marines here can do amazing things with machinery, but I didn't believe it until I found out the one guy here is building his own whack. A congressman has been out here today taking pictures of me telling jokes at the camp. First, I was flattered, and I found out he's using the pictures as an argument to get servicemen more paid. They took a preliminary vote on the salary raise last week, and it was quite interesting. 99 congressmen voted yes, 48 voted no, and a bartender from Victorville just showed up and prayed. Celery tonic men, huh? But I think that President Truman has to okay the raise. Best refuses to sew any more patches on General Bradley's pants. And one sergeant told me today the pay he gets now is just chicken feed. I think that's what he meant. He said it's for the birds. And when Churchill heard about the pay boost, he was really surprised. It was the first time he'd heard of Washington giving money to Americans. And speaking of cutting the budget, Washington just cut $5 billion from the Air Force budget. All I can say is it's going to be mighty embarrassing when we see our pilots going down the runway flapping their arms. Of course, I can understand it because Washington is so busy with the elections. It's still a little too early for kissing babies, but every morning the Republican candidates get together and compare puckers. And this time the Republicans are sure they're going to win. And why not? They've got a candidate for every voter. Senator Taft feels pretty confident. The other day it rained in Washington, and Mrs. Taft phoned Margaret and told her to close the windows in the White House. That sneaks up on you, doesn't it? And you kind of hate yourself for not moving out of the way. Eisenhower hasn't done any campaigning yet, but he no longer calls the soldiers GIs. Now he just says, fellow voters.
Ladies and gentlemen, many people wonder how Bob keeps up the tremendous pace that he sets for himself. Well, I have quite a bit to do with that because I'm in charge of Bob's schedule. For instance, early this morning, I walked into Bob's bedroom to read to him the list of the day's activities. And following your press conference and newsreel shot, you have 1.5 minutes to change clothes. Then you rush to the airport with motorcycle escort and take off for the Marine Supply Depot at Barstow. The orchestra and the Chesterfield players have been synchronized to arrive at the same minute. Well, Bob, does all that meet with your approval? Oh, now, Bob, wake up.
Don't hit me. I've had enough, I tell you. Don't hit me. Don't hit me again. Huh?
Well, Bob, what in the world were you dreaming about?
Oh, I thought I was in Las Vegas playing blackjack.
Well, you better get dressed, Bob. Isn't this the day we go to the Marine base at Barstow?
Well, I'm not sure, Hi. I didn't get an answer to the letter I wrote to Colonel Hanson. I'd better get him on the phone right now.
Hello?
Hello, Colonel Hanson. This is Bob Hope calling.
Bob Hope?
That's right.
What's the matter with you? Do you realize that it's almost 9:30 a.m.?
Well, what about it?
Never wake up a Marine this early in the morning.
Oh, I'm sorry, Colonel. I do hope that I didn't ring loud enough to wake up the boys in the barracks. But But, Colonel, I'm calling about the letter I wrote you about my coming down and performing for your Marines.
Oh, yes, Bob. Well, to tell the truth, I haven't read your letter yet, but I will. It's right here. Let me see now. Dear Colonel Hanson, I would like to work and I have a lot of new jokes your father's like. Oh, excuse me for taking so long, Bob, but it's kind of hard to read through the bars.
What bars?
I put your letter in the bottom of the canary's cage.
Well, tell me the size of the birdcage and I'll send you Crosby's picture.
I was just fooling, Bob. We'll all be looking forward to seeing you.
Oh, fine, Colonel. We'll be there. So long.
Hey, that's great, Bob. When do we start?
Oh, in about an hour, high. I made an appointment to go to the blood bank this morning.
Oh, gee, not again.
Why not?
Well, after all, Bob, 18 pints of blood in a month, isn't that overdoing it?
Well, not at all. Hi, you can't put a limit on a wonderful cause like this. Roll up your sleeve and let's get started. Gee, it's nice to see so many people donating. We ought to get waited on in a minute. Say, look at this beautiful nurse coming toward us.
Hello, Bob.
Well, Claudette Colbert. It's only a girl. Gee, Claudette, I didn't know you were a nurse down here.
Well, I'm really not, Bob. I just help out when they're short-handed. Now, look, you're down here every other day. You know, it's a wonderful thing, but 18 pints of blood in a month. Oh, that's too much. It can lead to weakness and dizziness and even fainting spells.
Oh, gee, I'm glad you told me that. Hi.
Yes?
Get me a chair. I don't feel very well.
All right, Bob, let's stop kidding. We know that while you take all the bows, it's Ty Averbach who's been giving the blood.
Well, what makes you think so?
Well, every time a Marine gets a transfusion of him, he stands up and yells, "Buy a pack of Chesterfields, do it today."
Thank you. Your carton is in the mail. But you're wrong, Claudette. I've done some donating on my own. Get my card out of the file there, and I'll show you.
All right. Uh-huh. There's a record of your blood donation, but it was shipped out quite a while back.
Oh, really? Well, who'd they send it to?
Dewey. He had quite a few wounded at Manila Bay.
Where does it say that? I want.
Right here.
Oh, good. For a moment, your paycheck was hanging in the balance. Now, stop kidding, Claudette. I'm as patriotic as anybody. In case you don't know, I served in the last war with the Coast Guard. I was intelligence officer in charge of geodetic oceanography.
What did you do?
Well, when the tide came in, I stood on the beach and yelled, "Here it comes again." Came out of it with their highest decoration, the Order of the Coast Patrol. It's a beautiful thing. The gold star with a cluster of wet clams. Anyway, Claudette, now that I'm here, shouldn't I...
Oh, Bob, can I speak to you for a moment?
Oh, sure. Excuse me, Claudette. What is it, Hyde?
Well, I was just thinking, as long as we're going down to Barstow, why don't you talk to Miss Colbert and see how she feels about coming along to add to the entertainment?
Oh, a swell idea. Say, Claudette.
Yes, Bob?
I forgot to tell you that I'm on my way to Barstow to the U.S. Marine Base.
Oh, I think that's wonderful, Bob. Oh, this is good news for everybody in the entertainment business.
Really?
Yes. When did you get your induction notice?
You don't understand, Claudette. I'm going down to do a show for the boys. The reason I mentioned it, I thought you might like to appear there with us.
Oh, well, I'd love to, Bob. It sounds like a lot of fun.
Oh, well, it'll be swell, Miss Colbert. Look, I'm driving to Barstow. If you like, you can ride with me.
Oh, that's fine. You know, I wouldn't know where to find Barstow. The moment I get out of Hollywood, I'm completely lost.
You are?
Yeah.
Then you can ride with me. Say, how soon can you leave, Claudette?
Well, right after I tell the doctor I'm leaving. Oh, doctor?
Yes, Miss Colbert.
I've just taken my last donation. Here, Doctor, it's some of that double Z type.
The double Z type? Wonderful. I've been waiting for some of that. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Oh, Doctor, I'm the one who gave the blood. Look, but I didn't know my kind was so desirable.
Oh, very desirable. Of course, to be frank with you, we don't use it for the Army, Navy, or Marines.
Well, then what do you do with it?
I give it to my little boy. For his birthday, he got a water pistol.
That does it. Okay, hi. We're ready to start the play we're putting on this evening. Announce it and put some enthusiasm into it this time, will you? Read it bright, happy, and jolly.
Okay. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, the Chesterfield Entertainers present their version of that current Broadway hit, Caesar and Cleopatra, starring Bob Hope.
Kid, watch yourself, or you'll be back on the job you had when I found you. Navigator for a floating crap game.
Well, now, Bob, I don't understand this play you're doing tonight. Why did you pick Shakespeare, Caesar, and Cleopatra?
Well, I'll let you in on a little secret, Hi. Claudette Colbert is leaving for England this week to do a picture, and so far she hasn't chosen her leading man. Isn't that a break?
Oh, it certainly is. I do a wonderful British. Listen.
This is England's darkest hour, but be of good cheer. The sun never sets upon the British Empire. We shall fight to defend every shining jewel in Her Majesty's crown.
How was that, Bob?
That's wonderful. It sounded like Princess Margaret talking through a wet crumpet. Now, get lost, Ty. Here comes Claudette, and I want to get things started.
Here I am, Bob. Are you ready to do the play?
Yes, but I want to talk to you about something else first, Claudette. I understand you're going to England to do a picture.
That's right.
Well, I understand you haven't chosen your leading man yet. Now, I don't want to talk about myself.
But you will, won't you?
Well, Claudette, this is about my career. I've known you quite a while, and I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want to be a comedian.
Oh, Bob, don't stop now when you're getting so close.
I haven't lost this many times in a row since my last love scene with Jane Russell. And Waterfield walked in.
I'm sure you have a lot of dramatic talent, Bob, but the picture I'm going to make is an English picture. You see, my problem is to find someone with an authentic British accent. I wonder where I could find somebody like that.
This is England's darkest hour. We shall fight to defend every shining jewel in Her Majesty's
crown. Hi. Don't pay any attention, Claudette. This kid has flipped his tea bag. Well, let's get started with our play. Do you have the script of Caesar and Cleopatra, Claudette?
No, Bob. I gave it to Colonel Hanson. He wanted to... Oh, here he comes now.
Oh, here's the script, Bob. I hope you won't mind my borrowing it. I wanted to look it over.
Look it over, Colonel? Why?
Well, just routine. As commanding officer, I wanted to make sure there weren't any words in there that these Marines shouldn't hear.
Oh, well, that's fine. I certainly wouldn't want to offend any of the sergeants present.
Incidentally, Bob, I took the liberty of rewriting a few lines. Some of them wouldn't have been very interesting to Marines.
Oh, well, I can understand that. You see, Shakespeare was in the Navy. But if you change the play a little bit to make it more entertaining to the fellows, I'm all for it. Let's do it, Claudette. Les, a little music, please.
And now, one of the great love stories of all time, Caesar and Cleopatra. Caesar has conquered all the known world to win the love of Cleopatra. As the curtain rises, we find him with his manservant preparing for a rendezvous with the Queen of the Nile.
Regard me, knave. Am I not the handsomest man in all Egypt? Ah, the beautiful women who have thrown themselves at my feet.
What women, sire?
Well, Dagmar, just to name a few. Get on with it, Aurelius. The queen awaits me.
I shall make all haste, sire. I have rubbed thy head with oil of balm, thy chest with oil of lotus, thy feet and thy limbs with oil of pine. What can I do for thee now, sire?
Crank me down and let me off the grease rack. sure that the baskets we take to Cleopatra are loaded with the rarest delicacies. Dates from Smyrna, figs from Syria, pomegranates from Corsica, grapes, citrus, papayas, and Persian melons. The queen is a dilettante among gourmets.
She's a what, sir?
A chow hound. Chow hound? Where did that line come from?
That's one of the lines I changed, Bob. I thought it might be more interesting to the boys.
Oh, I see, Colonel. Thanks a big heap. I go now. Cleopatra, the flower of the Nile, awaits me.
Cordelia?
Yes, my queen.
Who awaits at the portal?
Methinks 'tis Caesar. The god is about to announce him.
Announcing Julius Caesar. Lord of Corinth. Lord of Rome. And Lord of Macedon.
I'm also Lord of Santa Anita.
Oh, what a feast for mine eyes thou art, O noble. Is it verily thou? Is it truly thou?
Yes, it's Mao. Tis I, known to the Romans as Julius Pontifus Maximus, Tiberius, Apollonius Fluvius Octavius Praetor, and always by Chesterfield.
Methinks that somehow thou dost look different tonight, Caesar.
Well, I was hoping you'd notice it, Cleo. It is because of the gifts thou gave me from the New World. How do they look?
Oh, Caesar, thou art not supposed to wear them as earrings. Those are Silex coffee pots.
I thought they went very well with my glass slippers.
But I'm remiss in my hospitality. You shall dine sumptuously, Caesar. What wouldst thou like?
Well, 3 pheasants boiled in goat's milk, 4 barbecued pigs, a whale steak, a broiled boar's head, a dozen sheep cooked medium well, and a half a slice of rye crisp.
A half a slice of rye crisp?
Remember, I'm on a diet.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, thou must keep that noble figure since thou art the greatest, the most handsome athlete of our time.
Natch.
Where didst thou get thy broad biceps?
Hurling the distance.
Where didst thou get thy broad shoulders?
Throwing the javelin.
And where didst thou get thy broad...
Sliding down pyramids. Ah, Cleo, how lovely thou art tonight. How silken thy tresses. How red thy lips. And thine eyes, ah, thine eyes, shine like a mess kit on inspection day. A mess kit on inspection day?
That's another line I changed, Bob.
Oh, I never would have known.
Come close to me, my sweet. We waste time. And minutes of... Minutes are like precious jewels. Behind my left ear, there is the fragrance of rose. Thy hair has the scent of heliotrope. And... and thy right ear has the perfume of hyacinth.
Yes, I'm test pilot for Taboo.
Caesar... Caesar, I have revealed to my subjects that we are pledged. This is Egypt's greatest moment.
My subjects too rejoice. This is Rome's happiest day.
This is England's darkest hour.
Get out of here!
Embrace me, Caesar. Let me kiss thee as thou hast never been kissed before. Here.
The coffee in the Silex is percolating. Well, that's the end. Curtain. Say, Claudette, I know all these Marines here at Barstow appreciate your coming down here today, and you know how I feel about it.
I loved it, Bob.
You know, Claudette, I've never done Shakespeare before, and I don't want to brag, but how about my acting? Wasn't that something?
It was something, but it wasn't acting.
She's always kidding. Oh, Colonel Hanson, you know, I wrote that sketch all by myself. Did you know I wrote it all by myself?
Well, no, I didn't, Bob.
Well, I did, and I got a lot more. Some of them are even better than that one. I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Colonel. Isn't this a jolly idea? I'll come down here every week and put on one of these plays that I wrote, starring me, of course. Isn't that a peachy idea? Hmm? Well, Colonel, what do you think of it?
This is Barstow's darkest hour.
Thanks for the memories of the Marine Corps everywhere, on land and sea and air. When we have a foe, it's nice to know the Marines are always there. Yes, we thank them so much. I want to thank everybody for the help here at Barstow today. Thanks to Colonel H.T. Hanson, Major A.C. Searforth, Lieutenant Dudley Perkins, Sergeant Jerry Epstein for that food, keeping it hot at all times, and all the boys here at Barstow that gave us great cooperation today.
Bob Hope on Tuned to Yesterday from April 1st, 1952 on NBC. And that brings to a close this hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeBanier. It's been a pleasure.